What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
And I'm Keith Finch.
And you are watching or listening to another episode of Gun Day Brunch, brought to you by Bleecker Street Publications and Taurus USA.
He got
If you
it. He
like
got it.
guns, buy them from Taurus. And if you like reading about them, go read the various media properties from Bleecker Street Publications.
They
You
have a
could be
lot of them.
watching this on open air media. I don't know.
You could be.
But statistically speaking, you're listening to this on an iPhone in your car on Apple Podcasts, based on the statistics that I look at fairly regularly. The second most likely thing is you're listening to this on Spotify in your car on Spotify Podcasts, but you are definitely listening to this on your phone.
Our open watch numbers are pretty good too, but guys, we get it. Podcasts are really easy in the audio formats, and we love the audio formats. Why, Caleb?
Because the audio formats are not suppressing gun content. Fun fact, I listen to a lot of gun podcasts on my iPhone, and it's like, oh, you like gun talk radio, you may like this thing, you may like this thing, you may like this thing. And I'm like, yes, no, maybe no, yes. And now I have even more podcasts to listen to. So the way that you guys can help us out with that is leave a review, a 5-star review, obviously. Don't leave a bad review unless you really, really want to leave a bad review, in which case don't. Send me an email instead. Call me mean names there. Caleb at gunnutsmedia.com. Like, I really don't care. But in all seriousness,
Guys, we know we're stupid. Like you.
yeah, absolutely. But no, in all seriousness, when you leave 5-star reviews, when you actually leave written reviews on iTunes and Spotify, it really does help us with the algorithm. It helps all gun podcasts with the algorithm when you support one and leave it a review, because then it will recommend more content like that to you. So it's yeah, it's a mean audio. So yeah, do that.
Follow those guys, like those guys too. Like it helps the algorithm. The wonderful thing about the podcast algorithms is like that's how algorithms like should work in a relatively unbiased system that just has rule set that they're applying fairly well.
I would like
And it'd
to,
be nice
before
if
we
everywhere was like that, but it's not.
Yeah, I would like to, before we start the show, extend a hearty FU to the entire nation of Canada, who our women's hockey team just beat 5-2 zip in the opening round of the Olympic hockey tournament. Suck it. It's so good.
We stick better than you stick.
We're better at
And
your favorite game than you are, and that's just fantastic.
it's the only it's all it's the only like there are two games. There are two games in the Winter Games. Everything else is a scored comp or a timed race. It's one of two games. You have hockey and you have curling. Those are the only
Is that
two versus
really
games.
it?
Yeah.
Man, speaking of the Winter Olympics, like I think that biathlon might be the hardest shooting sport on earth.
I completely agree. That
Like, well, and I don't know if you guys know Lanny Barnes. She's an active, she's a 3-gun shooter, USPSA shooter, very active in the community. She was an Olympic biathlete before she did all of this. And I remember she's talked about it, and I've heard other biathletes talk about it, but they're rolling into these shooting positions with a heart rate that's like 160 BPM, and they're shooting a little dinky 22 from the standing position at a target that's 50 meters away and is yay big. For reference, yay big is like 6 inches or something like that. Like, it's
Yeah, it's like a 6-inch or eight inch target. They're not big. They're very far away, especially for a 22. Your heart rate is insane. Oh yeah, you don't get off the skis, if I recall correctly.
No, you do not get off the skis. Yeah, so you're still on your skis.
So foot position isn't ex like.
I think you can, like, yeah, I think they can dump like one ski or something like that, but they do, because they shoot from two positions. They shoot from the prone position. Hang on. Shooting distances in Olympic biathlon. Let's see. 50 meters. So at. Da, 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 da. They used to shoot, fun fact, they used to shoot it at 150 meters with 308s, which is rad.
That's spicy standing, guys. I don't care. Like that's a spicy shot standing. That's a little
Okay, so
curly.
they're shooting, all right, da, 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 four magazines, blah, blah, blah. targets are at 50 meters, and the target diameter, the target that they shoot from the prone position is 1.8 inches. The standing target is 4.5 inches. At 50 meters
Those are small.
with your heart rate jacked through the fucking ceiling. And also, there's no optics on this gun. They use a diopter iron sight, which is the best sort of iron sight that you can
Yeah,
get.
it's a great iron sight for this, but that's still a really tiny target. That's the 1.8 inch, 50 meters. There are people whose eyesight, like, you can't see
Yeah, a two inch, like,
that.
well, and to be fair, like, I zero when I'm zeroing rifles, depending on the gun that I'm zeroing, like, that's actually my standard zero target is I'll shoot a 2 inch, like, if I'm zeroing like a lever gun with a red dot on it, right? My sort of standard zero target is a 2 inch dot at 50 yards because that allows me to get a fairly precise zero, for a gun that I'm really not realistically going to shoot further than maybe 200, 300 yards, anyways. So, but yeah,
That's
a
also a good zero for, I mean, that's a good zero for ARs or guns with AR height over bore optics, too. 50 is a good zero. It does
Yeah.
a lot.
I'm actually a huge proponent of the 50-yard zero for a lot of things. With the, once you start getting into like I think I zeroed my 6.5 at 100. I've got a bunch of guns I need to zero. I zeroed six guns today in the rain. So that was me. Now I'm like, ooh, I should take these optics off of them. But yeah, no, like
Don't do it. I resisted. Don't do
Olympic
it.
biathlon has got to be the craziest shit in the world. And but all of the winter Olympics, like summer Olympic sports are just sports that we all know the rules to, right? Like it's just like everybody knows the rules to running. You run faster than the other guy. The whole world knows the rules of basketball and soccer and all of these sports, even.
I think I just saw that flag football is getting added, so we're going to have world flag football.
We are
Everybody,
going to
everybody.
kill everyone because they're it's open to NFL players. NFL players could compete in this. Can you imagine the bloodbath that will be? Just but even like the Summer Olympic shooting sports, they make sense. You've got two different flavors
Sticky
of
grip.
pistol shooting. You got air pistol, you've got the shotgun sports. They're all really common stuff. The Winter Olympics are fucking nuts because like one of the sports in the Winter Olympics is basically I'm gonna lay on the shittiest toboggan you can imagine, head first, and go down an ice chute at
Yeet
90 fucking miles
myself
an
down
hour.
the ice chute, and then there's yeet myself with a friend down the ice chute.
Or hey, let's put four dudes in an open top coffin and just send them down an ice chute. Or,
Yeah, most of the games in the Winter Olympics is literally just how can we outrun the
yeah.
cold?
Or, like when you think, because it's funny because, we've all grown up watching these in the West, and you never think about like how insane ski jump is. And I never thought about how insane ski jump is until I saw a Red Bull video of a dude doing a ski jump and he was wearing a GoPro. And then you realize how high they are, how far they go, and how fast they're going. And I'm like, hold on. So the sport is throw yourself off a cliff and survive. That's the sport. Throw yourself off a cliff, a frozen cliff at that, and survive. And for protection, you're nothing. No pads. No.
Just the stuff you're wearing because it is cold out. Hope that's enough padding for your impact.
Well, and hell, then when they have the big speed skating events where it's like the team speed skating and there's no lanes or anything like that, and these dudes crash into each other, and I've seen people get cut with the razor blades that they're wearing on their feet. Like,
Because they're like, quickly get me my knife shoes so I can cross this ice.
you know what it is? You know what it is with the Winter Olympics? All of the Winter Olympic sports were invented by bored white people. This is the problem because it's just white people shit, right? It's like, what's the stupidest thing that we can do because we have eliminated all inherent
Across
danger
North
from our
America and
lives?
Northern Europe, everywhere where there's crazy mountainous snow, and they're just like, look, walking through this is dumb. How do fast?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sport.
Let's do this
Let's do
faster.
it fast and dangerous.
Well, there's oh, and there's a no. I think there's a new one this year where it's downhill skiing, but you have to hike up the hill first with your skis. And I'm like, no. But also, no. Have you considered not doing this? And then, but yeah, shout out to anybody who has
Shout
ever
out to the
competed
entire Winter Olympics crew,
fast.
every single one of the games, because they exist in a state of like grizzled, just sort of like post-apocalyptic movie or grizzled survivalist movie, versus the Summer Olympics, which generally feel like having fun and games.
Right. Yeah, the Summer Olympics feel fun, and I don't know, like, and also I think the other thing too with the Summer Olympics, and this is actually just a true statement, is the Summer Olympics always do better in ratings than the Winter Olympics. Always, always, always. And I think that the Summer
A lot
Olympics are
more. I mean,
more,
the games. They're super, far more recognizable games. Far the games are a lot. A lot of them have professional, both national and international leagues. The way that the winter sports really don't, that are like followed and monetized. I mean, think about basketball. Think about soccer. Think about football,
Well, and I think there's an
baseball.
approachability component to it as well, right? Like we've all run at some point in our life. You know, most of us have at some point picked up a basketball and tried to shoot it or something like that. You know, if you grew up in the United States, you probably played baseball in some way, shape, or form at some. Oh, they got rid of baseball. I forgot about that. Regardless, but I think the summer games are more approachable because we've all probably done at least one of them at some point. I have never participated in any of the winter games, including ice hockey. I played street hockey, which is close, and I watched the Mighty Ducks a lot. But I think
But like, yeah, I have never played ice hockey. I've never curled. I've never race skied or tobogganed, or like the closest I've gotten is like playing on a hill with like now my nephews. Like
Yeah,
let's put this disc down and go down the
I've never been ski I have never been skiing. I've been snowboarding like once, so I guess I have participated in one of the Winter Olympic sports, snowboarding, but like I was
hill.
16, so I don't think that counts. But
Yeah,
yeah.
like I definitely don't count. We've completely gone off what our original topic was. We're on Olympics, which is fine because the Olympics are on. The like, if you played a game of pickup basketball or a game of flag football or anything like that, like you competed in the sport at a level. It's the entry level. It's the recreational level. But you did. If you just went down the hill skiing or snowboarding or something like that and weren't in a timed or competitive or scored environment at all, you didn't. You did the steps that could eventually lead you there, but you didn't play the game. You didn't do the sport.
Ah, good times. But yes, shout out to the Winter Olympians. You guys are the best. USA, USA, go, and especially go USA hockey, because that right there, go
Yes.
USA hockey.
Go USA Hockey.
We'd love to see it. Love to see the men's and the women's teams kicking ass. We do actually want to talk about guns today on this show, which is on our
Shocking.
show about guns, which is what we do. Again. I had the worst experience on the range today when I went out to zero those six guns because I did not expect it to rain, and then it did, and I had like ammo cans open and it starts to rain and they're on my truck, which is like 50 yards away, so I'm like trying to get back and like shut my case and all that, and all of my shit got soaked, and it's just the most irritating thing because then you have to dry everything out, because I don't know if you guys knew this, but water and most of the stuff that we use in the firearm space do not mix super great.
No, they do not, especially if you leave them wet. They can get wet and run fine. Leaving them wet, problem across the board.
Yeah, leaving the wet, no bueno. So like I get home and I'm like, which one of my wife's towels should I ruin today? Because they're not my towels, guys. Guys, I have news for you. If you are married or you cohabitate with a woman, they're not your towels, okay? They're her towels, and she's just letting you rent one. I have never spent as much time thinking about the purchase of a towel as she has, okay? I've never invested that level of thought into a towel. I used to buy my towels at the Base BX. So,
Yeah, I go to the Amazon's basics section on Amazon, look at something with a high rating and whatever, and be like, big towel, send. Like, I'm not
large
buying
and
the last lowest level, but I'm not getting the $200 set of bougie super towels that apparently dry much more better than other things that dry things.
I did ask her when we first started dating if I was allowed to use the decorative towels in the bathroom. I'm like, are these for actually drying your hands or are they just for
Or are
looking
these
nice?
for
She's,
shells?
yeah, exactly. I'm like, because I didn't know. The nice thing about having a kid is they were not a decorative towel house anymore. Now, if it's absorb, if
Kids.
it's a towel, it's free towel shit.
Yep. Kids and pets humble all of that decorative shit so fast. And I appreciate all households with kids and pets for that reason, because everything is there for utility.
Now,
Like.
before we get onto the topic of the show,
Yep.
so one of the guns that I zeroed today was my Taurus 692 standard model, not the executive grade, and this is wearing the Sealy Wolf SRS6 Pro, which according to Sealy is their dot for people who have astigmatism because it doesn't flare when you use it, and it fucking works.
I would be
And
very curious about that
that's
because
so because
I
like I
have
threw it up.
astigmatism.
So like I'm using this as naming reference right now, right? And I've got it, and the dot is perfectly round. And that's very confusing because when I take my Aimpoint Acro, which is a very, very good dot, and I aim it and I adjust the brightness so it's appropriate contextually for the environment that I'm in, the dot is not perfectly round. It flares a little bit. All of my other red
That's
dots.
my biggest complaint with aimpoints to this day is I know they're stupid reliable, I know they're stupid durable, but they all flare for me.
So every red dot I've ever had, except for the. Do you remember the? No one uses it anymore, which is a shame because it was actually a good dot. The Trijicon Dual Illume RMR, the one that had the
Yeah.
tritium in it. And it didn't actually have bat require batteries or anything like that. It was a really good pistol red dot. I think that dot deserved a way better rep than it got. But
I will caveat that I had one of those. They were amazing. For outdoor shoot, like for competitive use where your outdoor lighting's fine, everything
yeah.
like that. Because we ran them in the Marine Corps too. We had them on top of the 3.5 ACOGs for our machine guns, and we had them on top of the 6X ACOGs for our medium machine guns. Great, great outdoor sight. And yeah, they were clean. Very
So
clean.
for reference, I
But
also have
looking
the
from
Sealy.
dark environment to in light environment.
Not great.
So
No.
good.
For reference, I also have the Sealy Wolf Pro, which is not the no astigmatism one, and it flares, right? So all of these dots that I have, and I have a gazillion dots over here, they all fucking flare. And that's, you just sort of accept that, right? When you shoot a red dot, you're like, hey, I have a little bit of a, I don't have a particularly bad astigmatism, but I've got enough that every red dot flares for me. And then I was aiming and I'm like, this dot looks weird. Why is it so round? Why does it make me feel things? That's pretty neat.
It's so pretty.
So anyway, shout out to fucking Sealy. And this goes back to the episode last week where we had Evie on from Sealy and we talked about the golden age of pistol red dots. And if you had told me 10 years ago when I was begging my RMR that was mounted on my M&P to not shit the bed, that a company that charges like $150 for this optic was going to make an optic that solves your astigmatism flare issues, I'd be like, yeah, oh, so it's going to be $700, right? Like, that's what it's going to cost.
Or it's going to
No.
last a magazine and it's going to fly apart.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's, yeah,
Pick one,
fucking.
Western man.
I do. You know what? Globalization is probably bad, but every now and then I'm not mad at it.
Right? Look, it's not a one or the other issue. Sometimes there's nuance, and the nuance is when, oh man, that actually works.
Oh, good times. Okay, so again, we did
Anywho.
actually have a topic for this show in our grab bag episode, which I think we might call this grab bag episode.
Olympic
But
grab
Olympic grab
bag.
bag episode, absolutely. Which, oh, speaking of one more thought. If you another insane international competition, I don't know if you guys have ever watched Physical 100 on Netflix. So it's a Korean reality show that is like just the first two seasons are all Koreans, and it's just these insane physical challenges, right? Like, holding a 400-pound boulder on your shoulder for and see who could do it the longest, just the crazy shit. So for season three, they got a bunch of different Asian countries. They got Australia, Turkey, Japan, Korea, Mongolia, Indonesia, the Philippines and Malaysia, right? And had them all compete against each other in these feats of strength and athleticism. And it's fucking bananas. And it's all in their native languages and all subtitled. And if you like want to watch some people do some absolutely insane, stupid human tricks, fucking Physical Asia on Netflix. I'm on the last episode right now, or the second to last episode right now. It's crazy. And of course, the Australians are hilarious because, like everyone
Because
else,
they're
is
Australians, and that's
yes.
just how they roll.
And let me tell you, they picked some really Australian Australians for this show. Like they're professional
Oh yeah,
parkour.
you're not gonna find the Midwest accent of Australia and throw
No,
that guy in there. No.
they have a professional
No.
parkour runner Australian. So I'm like, just yeah, of course, yeah, but if, because of course that's what you're. Anyway, okay, topic. So Keith, let's
Yes.
say you have a friend who is a normie, just like, and not even a gun normie, just like a normie normie. And they're like, hey, my life has taken a turn and I do not, it, did not expect it to take said turn. I was wondering if you could loan me a rifle for 2 months. What rifle would you loan this friend?
That's a good question, and it's one that I've put a lot of thought in, and the rifle I would loan has changed a lot over the years. We've consolidated on one, and I know you've consolidated on another one, and we'll get to yours. And I think they're the two, and honestly, I think they're the two best options given that context. So we'll start with throwing a bunch of tools on the ground from my
I hate when
workbench.
that happens.
We'll start with mine. And for those of you not watching at home and listening, because this is a podcast, this particular one's a Sons of Liberty, but I don't care if it's a Sons of Liberty. This is an 11 and a half inch
I
AR-15.
was going to say that's short.
Yeah, it's an 11 and a half inch AR-15. I don't care if it's SBR or pistol configuration, guys. It is wearing a 3X Trigicon ACOG optic, and it's got a bright mod light. I don't care about the particular brands. I mean, the Trigicon, I think, is the best of the prism sights, but
You put a 3-power ACOG on an
on an
SBR.
11 and a half inch gun, yeah.
You're a fucking sicko, and I like it.
I love it's their I think it's the TA50 model. So it's the Generation 2 ACOGs, which have much better eye box and improved glass, and they're much smaller, so they're like half. So that feels like the TA11, except it's half the size of the
Ooh.
TA11.
To this day, my favorite ACOG remains the 1.5-power. The little
Yeah,
itty bitty one.
I love the TA44.
Oh,
I love the
such a good
TA44.
optic.
I think it is a great optic. The TA50 feels like that in that vein, but you get almost the magnification of the classic ACOGs, but with a little like the eye box is more forgiving. I also like the reticle better. But yeah, this 11 and a half inch AR with ambidextrous controls added, and this one didn't cost me a lot of money, and them new didn't cost me a lot of money. There's not a lot of whiz bang stuff in it. Like it's a mil-spec trigger. I added magpuls. Ambi short throw safety. It came with an Ambi charging handle. No upgraded bolt release or magazine release or anything like that. It's just a good, what is it? The term turnkey. Yeah, turnkey. It's a good turnkey AR-15, and I can hand this to just about anybody. And if even if they're a gun normie, and I spend like 4 hours working with them on it, they're gonna have a warm and fuzzy on how this thing works and be able to do what they need to do with it. On top of that, I chose the 11 and a half. I used to do conventional rifles. So 16-inch guns, still ambi and still with a simple optic. But I've gone down to 11 and a half because the likelihood of you pick anyone in my friend group, the likelihood of this being something that is a tighter quarters situation, something that's a little closer in, and something where they might want something that's a little smaller. Not super small, but a little smaller just to move around. On top of that, it's lightweight, it's convenient. And if you really needed to, you can hit 500 yards with this gun. Like, it will do it. It will do it fine. Part of the reason why it's got the 3X ACOG is that's a very, everything on this gun is designed to be very, very simple and very user-friendly, so that if I hand this to someone who is switched on and knows, then they can take advantage of every feature on this rifle and make it do what it needs to do. But if I hand this to a complete normie who has nothing, it's like, look, you put the circle with the dot in it on the thing you want to hit, and then you slowly squeeze the trigger back, and it will do that.
So, and it's funny because we sort of we picked different guns, but we had a lot of the same reasons for picking them. So for me, my rifle is a, in this case, a Rossi R95 with a 20-inch barrel in 30-30. And for an optic, it has the Aimpoint 9000L, which is basically a comp, it's a comp M4 but long, which is good because that's a really, really good optic. This gun in particular is the choice for a number of reasons. And the first one is the caliber, because there are, if you need a rifle, there are very few things in North America that a normie would be engaging with a rifle that a 30-30 will not solve that problem. Like a 30-30 will get the job done, and it will get the job done with a minimal amount of recoil. I like my 30-30s. I don't like 16-inch 30-30s, and I don't like them because I think you lose some ballistic effectiveness with the shorter barrel. The slightly longer barrel of a on this 20-inch gun gives me better terminal ballistics out of the out of this gun, and because it's a lever gun, it doesn't really compromise the gun in a significant way, right? Like it may
It's
not be as
already going
hand.
to be a long-ish gun. The barrel change is not going to make the difference.
Yeah, it's really not. Yeah, it's, and again, it's really not that long compared to a 16-inch AR, right? This is actually probably shorter in OA overall length than my AR. So the caliber is a big thing. So if that, and you know, if you're thinking about like scenarios where your friend is like, oh, I need a rifle, 30-30, you can get at every gun store, Bass Pro Shops, and Walmart in the United States of America. Ammo is going to be plentiful. It's going to be easy to, it's going to be easy to get your hands on. And then for me in this circumstance, the advantage of this gun, if I'm handing it to, you know, a relative normie person, is much like a revolver, it is diff, once you figure out the manual of arms for this gun, it is difficult to negligently discharge it. You know, and that's a big concern for me if I'm loaning a gun to someone who I don't, you know, I isn't a well-trained, isn't a highly skilled person, is I kind of want this gun to be something that they're not necessarily gonna have a hard time shooting, because once you figure out the manual of arms, lever, most lever guns have really good triggers on them, like really, really good triggers. And this one's no exception. You know, the Marlins, and to be clear, it's a Rossi because I have Rossis. That's what I've got in my house. I like Rossis. I also work for Rossi. But really, any quality 30-30 side gate lever gun is what fits this. And you should put a red dot optic on it. I have the 9000L on it because that's what I've got. But if you put Comp H2 or an Acro or a,
Any quality dot
yeah.
is going to give someone a rifle that is easy to operate. Again, looking at our 4 hour window of like, let me show you how to run this thing. I've got 4 hours. I'm going to show you how to run this thing. We're going to run some rounds through it. And I'm going to show you that the sight's on, it's ready to go, et cetera. The only thing I didn't see if you had, but if there's no light on it, I'd strap a light on it. That's
Yeah,
it. Put a white flash
this
on
one
it.
does not have a light on it. The one that I do have, that I've got two other guns and two other lever guns that I thought about and that I decided not to do because of the caliber. So I think the lever gun's perfect for this because it is legal everywhere, right? Like you can take a lever gun to all 50 states in the country and you're not going to run into any sort of legal peril because of magazine capacity or anything like that, right? It is just an
Magazine
objectively,
capacity, semi-automatic action,
yeah.
barrel length, NFA restriction, pistol restriction,
Right.
whatever. Like, The problem with my selection is that, especially in the normal scenarios, the normal sense of things, like if the laws still apply and I don't want my friend getting in trouble for the thing they have, because that's the type of scenario we're talking about, the lever gun makes a ton of sense if this, because I can literally give it to anyone and it can go anywhere. It's in that least restricted category.
Yeah. When so I went with the 30-30, and if it had a rail on it, I would probably put a, I would probably put a light on it, because the two guns that I have lights on both have rails on them. One of them is a 45-70, and I specifically wouldn't give someone a 45-70 because of the limfax associated with that cartridge. It has significantly heavier recoil than you get on a 30-30, which makes it di more difficult to shoot. And also, it tends to be pickier about like bullet type and bullet selection, right? So like, I have this zeroed for Winchester. I think it's 170 grain Winchester power points. Do you know how many jacketed soft point 170 grain 30-30 loads are out there? 100
A
million,
lot.
right?
A
Again,
lot.
you can get them
Going
kind of
to mine.
everywhere.
Every 55 grain round, every single 55 grain full metal jacket round will run through this approximately the same way. And before anybody is like, no, the ballistics is it. I'm talking at, inside 200 yard guy is, and hitting an 8-inch circle, not, stacking rounds because, PMC is much cooler than IMI 55 grain and Federal, and like I get it. Those muzzle velocity changes do be a thing, but if I zero this with this thing at 50 and then run any run-of-the-mill 55 grain through it, it's going to be fine.
Yeah,
It's going to be fine. I can hit C-zone steel pretty much wherever I put that thing. Like
it's going to be in the neighborhood, and that's what matters in this circumstance. And it's funny because the other gun that I thought about, all lever guns that I didn't select, was I have a 357 mag lever gun. And I thought about that for a little bit, because 357 mag out of a 16-inch lever gun is a really, really potent cartridge. It's
It
basically a
is.
30 carbine, but you have the trade-offs when you go down to a pistol caliber is the gun is less reliable. Pistol caliber lever guys, I hate to say this, pistol caliber lever guns are less reliable than rifle caliber lever guns, because I spell well, caveat, 1895 pattern pistol lever guns are less reliable than 1895 pattern rifle lever guns. If it was an 1890, this is some gun nerd shit. If it was a 73 or a 92 pistol, fine, less reliable than 95s. Mine works pretty good. I've had it not want to feed some 38 specials because of the short OAL. So given all of those factors, 30-30.
And I appreciate, especially with 30-30, I appreciate the fact that, especially since, say, all lever guns, even if you're shooting 38s out of a long magazine tube, 357, so you can stack a bunch of those guys. All of those are limited capacity guns. They do not hold a ton of ammo. And so if I am looking at that from a perspective of, oh, hey, I want to make these shots count because I don't have a lot of them, 30-30 makes me so much more comfortable, so much happier than 38-357 does from that shot-to-shot perspective. And you're not dramatically increasing the recoil inside the gun. It's very manageable, so.
No, yeah, again, like 30-30 is, I've done fairly long range days with R95s in 30-30, and at the end of it, you don't feel like the gun beat you up all day long, right? Like I felt more beat
That
up,
will
and
not be true of a 45-70 nor a 12 gauge.
no, a 45-70. Well, it's funny, I was zeroing my 45-70, and I zeroed it with the Hornady subsonic rounds, which have unbelievably gentle recoil and are also very boutique and hard to find. And then I was like, all right, let's friggin' throw in one of these Hornady Lever Revolution rounds. I drop that in and I go, pow. And I'm like, oh, I'm awake now, guys. Hello. Like,
Oh wait, this is
yeah, you go from
normie ammo. Okay.
405 grains at like 950 feet per second to 325 grains at 2200 feet per second. You notice the fucking difference.
I did something hilariously cruel. Well, I and my company did something hilariously cruel that I haven't followed through yet. It was a very nice gesture as well. But the oldest person in my company turned 70 years old. We love him. His name is Russ.
I was
Shout
going
out
to
to
say, happy
Russ.
birthday, Charles. You look great.
Gonna make sure he watches this part of the podcast in particular. But our accountant just turned 70 years old, and for his birthday, we got him a 4570. And we got him a bunch of normie ammo, and we got him one extra spicy boy that is a buffalo boar. So
Oh man, but
I have
I've
promised to take him, and he is fully aware that the buffalo boar is going to be a very spicy meatball. He's all game for it, but I'm still going to be like, all right, learning is going to occur today.
Oh man, I've never shot any of the Buffalo Boar 45-70 rounds, and I probably never will because I was going to use that 45-70 if I ever did a dangerous game safari in Africa, but I completely on accident, totally like my credit card just jumped out of my wallet, bought a sour, I think it's a sour 100 in 9.3 by 62 Mauser, which is a legitimate dangerous game gun.
That is a very legitimate dangerous game
So
gun.
now I have that, which is part of my collection of currently unzeroed guns, by the way, because, well, I have a really good scope for it too. I put the EOTech Voodoo on it, and I'm like, because my friends who have similar guns were like, oh yeah, that's a legit 300 yard gun. And I'm like, okay, I believe you.
This was the old friend rifle, which is a LWRC, but it's currently got a Leupold 2-10 on it, so it's kind
Well,
of living its life vicariously as a Mark 12-ish SPR right now. And one of the
the
reasons I wouldn't give that away as a friend rifle is the complexity of the optic. It's not that the gun's going to work or not going to work or be a problem. It's once I hand something with a complex component to it, then I have limited who I can hand that to, because then if they start touching things or stuff gets adjusted or any of those, fun factoids about touching equipment and then the equipment being off, I don't have that problem on ACOG with capped turrets once zeroed. And you won't have that problem with what you just brought into frame.
This is my
Because
other
nice
friend
prism.
rifle because
Yes.
I am a deeply autistic man. This is
In this crowd,
the
no.
Harrington and Richardson M16A2 clone, and it has the very, very excellent Primary Arms 5-power prism optic on the top of it. And this is zeroed at 100 yards, and I have confirmed that it will basically shoot point of aim, point of impact at about 300. And it shoots 55 grain. FMJ is really, really. I mean, I had it was funny because I got this because I have poor impulse control, and
I may have had something to do with this, guys.
you may have. And I hadn't shot a rifle length gas system in so long, right? Like
So good.
it was all I'd done was shoot carbine length gas systems, carbines, carbines, carbines. And I throw this thing
Oh
up and
yeah,
I was out
because
on the range,
Air Force M4s.
yeah.
It's what we do.
And I fired my first shot and I just went, oh man, I forgot how nice these are to shoot.
So
Like,
nice.
it was just like, I mean, you're just like, and you're like, oh, it booped me a little bit. Can you?
I regret not putting my name on, and this went into our group. I found an old, very well beat up Colt, 15A2. It
Oh
was well
man.
loved, like it was scratched to hell. The handguards were all scratched to hell. The stock was all scratched to hell. It was a well loved, well shot, and beat up gun. And there was a new in box one, like never fired, one above it for a lot more money. And I'm looking at the beat up one, and I'm like, every part of me wants this one more. And it's nothing to do with the price tag. Every part of me wants the beat up A2 because the nostalgia
Oh
from
yeah.
going back to basic and having that beat up A2 that just worked and just ran like a dream. It rusted like a son of a bitch, but
As one does.
it ran like a dream.
Holding this in my office right now, it blows my mind that they did CQB with this gun during the early days of the GWAT.
Yes. And the Marine Corps forever resisted turning the M16A4, which this is tricked out. I'm holding a tricked out M16A4 that I Accurized. Fun fact, if you Accurize an FN M16A4 with a stock barrel, it'll hit 1150 with 77 gray match.
And speaking of guns
And
that
yeah,
they're
they CQB'd with that. You were like, all right, go into house. But gun big. Well, hold gun over shoulder.
I
Short
do
stock gun.
actually have one other gun that I think would make a legitimate friend rifle as I think about it. So I'm looking in here and I'm looking, I've got like, 308 bolt guns, and I actually think and bolt guns are out because I actually think a bolt gun has a more complex manual of arms than a lever gun.
Lever. I agree. I think the lever gun has a lot of control advantages over a bolt gun, even a mag-fed bolt gun, where you could get, a decent number of
So,
rifle rounds in it.
my last contender for friend gun, and I think this is actually a pretty legitimate one. This is a Rossi RS22 mag. It's a 22. It's a semi-auto 22 mag. Feeds from detachable 10-round box magazines. It's very reliable. Has a rail on it to mount a dot, and it's. I mean, yeah, it's not like the shortest gun. You're not gonna. It's not like a CQB gun, but it's a 22 mag, and it works. And 22 mag is. I believe it was legendary lawman Chuck Haggard said, the only shootings that I went to that were 22 mag shootings all occurred from rifles and were all homicides. And not like shot him in the stomach and he bled to death, like shot him in the chest and he dropped and went down right there. Because this thing, people sleep. I still don't
That's
understand why so many people sleep on 22 mag. It's such a good projectile.
it's a really good round. Yes, it's a 22, guys, but so is 5.56, and there are a lot of people who are no longer on this side of the ground because of 5.56. 22 mag does not generate the energy that a 5.56 round does, but it is a significant step above the 22 LR,
Oh God, yeah. And just oh,
and
and
it's
side
still
note.
super lightweight, super affordable. Like it's a lot.
Side note, this dot also flaring. So, again, shout out to friggin' Sealy for making a dot that doesn't flare. How the hell did they do that? What kind of
I don't
fucking
know.
witchcraft is in that thing? I'm very curious.
Super super high quality emitters that they probably would be my guess is they got a bunch of people with astigmatism and lined them up and are like, look at these.
Yeah.
And if they got really technical about it, they found people with all different variants of astigmatism. Like both my eyes go in a different direction at about roughly a 45 degree angle. So combined, I've got 90 degrees of astigmatism between the two eyes. And they go, about a 45 one way, 45 the other way. So my guess would be they found enough variations of astigmatic individuals and were just like, look at these. Do these make your eye happy? And if they say, and they found the best one for all the varieties. That's how I would do it. I have no idea if that is how they did it, but that's how I would do it. Last thing on the friend rifle is I do want to mention shotguns, scatter guns. In particular, I am holding a 590A1 SBS that our late friend Jack Clemens conned me into buying, and I appreciate him for this because I love this shotgun. This shotgun is a lot of fun, but shotguns aren't normie-friendly guns, guys. They're not. Are they mechanically simple? Yes, but they're also really easy to mess up if you don't know what you're doing. You have to run them hard. You've got to run the actions hard. And if something goes wrong in the feeding mechanism or anything like that, it can be hard to fix. On top of that, 12 gauge recoil a lot, no matter what load you're throwing into it. 12 gauge recoils a lot. They're not going to want to shoot a lot of rounds in it. They're not going to want to, shoot a bunch of double aught buck, even 2 3/4 loads. Like
Well, and that's why,
the
like, my,
shotgun, is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gun, but it is a specialist gun a lot more than it is a normie.
it's sort of like the shotgun occupies an interesting spot, right? Where, like, I have a Beretta 1301. It's the best shotgun ever made by man.
Yes.
And that would not be the first gun that it wouldn't be the first, second, third, or fourth gun that I would hand to somebody. Now, if I knew that there was going to be a situation, like, I know the whole, like, well, if you were going to get into a gunfight, what would you take? And the answer is I wouldn't go. If I knew I was going to be in some sort of CQB type of gunfight, that's the gun I would take with me
Yeah, if
because.
I'm going to an unavoidable CQB, I am bringing the room broom. Like,
Yes. Yeah.
I'm throwing some flight control double out at a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Man. But yeah, fun episode, guys. I hope you enjoyed this jaunt down ADHD gun guy lane. Again, thanks everyone for listening, liking, sharing, and subscribing. I fully expect that I will get a DM about, I don't want to listen to 5 minutes of Olympics content. Well, that's fine.
I'm sorry, it's our podcast.
Yeah, if you don't,
Grow on
here's a fun
another.
fact.
Give us a 5-star rating and then go listen to another one.
Yeah,
And
exactly. All right,
yeah.
guys, that's it for this week. We will be back next week with an all new episode. Thank you.